This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Can they put a chokehold on it officially? We will find out. But man, feels like a squandered opportunity. No Jimmy Butler, no problem. Because you know why, Joe Shasky? You got the chef. 36 big ones. Doesn't matter what Fred VanVleet's doing. Doesn't matter how many flopping Alperen Şengün's doing. Doesn't matter how many shots Amen Thompson's missing. Maybe he does need to go to church and say amen instead of amen because that jumper is broken. We got the Buddy Hield game, people. Yay, Buddy. We never doubted him.
Never. Never.
And Gary Payton II, GP2, Young Glove, clutch. Huge win. Huge.
Two-piece beans and rice, all spice, Nicotina.
Oh, I love that.
Let me tell you, that was such a fun game. My voice is still a little sore from how great it was.
I can tell. You were yelling a lot, huh?
Yeah. That was just Steph Curry. You know, GB2 is going to get a lot of appropriate adoration. Obviously, Draymond Green defensively down the stretch.
Masterclass.
Awesome. I mean, just awesome.
Steph's the Rockets coming out to play.
Steph's floor game was unbelievable. Obviously, everyone's going to point to his shooting ability and the gravity and all the different things that he does when the ball's in his hands. But I thought the way he was passing the ball and the way he set up for others, the way that he was controlling the tempo and coming off screens, multiple GP2 left-handed layups were there because Steph comes flaring over on this circular screen, and they just do a fake handoff. And he did exactly what Draymond does forever, that little fake, fake kind of like RPO, dribble drive handoff, as we like to call it, and just right to the lane. And you know, they did so many really, really good things on defense in this one. I thought they did a better job staying in front of guys. You know, no one wants to admit this, but Dylan Brooks has actually been really good for the Rockets. Outside of him, who's been reliable game to game?
Well, they got their Fred VanVleet game, but that was in the first quarter. Outside of the first quarter, he only made one other shot. They got that. He was the one keeping them afloat in that first quarter when they had 22-18 lead after one. And it felt like, okay, Fred VanVleet can get his. You know why? He's 6 feet tall. I don't think he's going to keep this up the entire game. And he couldn't. After the first quarter, he was cooked. Amen Thompson, amen, whatever you want to call it. His jumper's just, it's just not there. And scoring is at a premium in this series, and you've seen it with the Houston Rockets. And when you have one of, if not the greatest offensive player in the history of the game, in Stephen Curry, yeah, that's a big difference. I know there was no Jimmy Butler, so if you're Houston, you felt like, man, we couldn't win that without Jimmy. Now the Warriors are feeling the confidence is sky high. Not that they needed the confidence to win without Jimmy. It just feels good to know that you can do it because this team, without Jimmy Butler for the most of the season, was not very good. They were an average team at best. So the fact that they were able to do it and get it done on Saturday, and it was the way they got it done. Yes, Steph, as you alluded to. Quinn Post, I was very impressed. I know shooting the ball wasn't great for him.
He was nasty.
12 rebounds?
Yeah.
For QP? Huge. 4 assists
and
as well.
Throwing Steven Adams at one point.
Yep.
It was incredible to see that happen.
Well, Steven Adams also had.
Hey, Steven Adams.
He was going at
How
Buddy.
How about him picking Buddy at their top? And that was a great Buddy game. But it was a hell of a pick.
What do I like to call him, though, at times? Buddy Butterfingers. That's what he is at times. It gets away from him. That's what happens.
I might be in the minority here.
Jimmy Butler says don't dribble. He does not want him dribbling at all.
But he was really good in this game.
Great.
Outside of the 3-point shots, I thought he was active. He was rebounding. I thought he was defending as well as he can and got a couple of loose balls. I thought he was brilliant in this one. If Steven Adams is ever available, the Warriors should be looking at him for the remainder of his career.
Ooh, I'm not mad at that.
He is one of the best offensive rebounders in the game. Clearly a load. He just knows what his job is. Like, sign me up for Steven Adams for the rest of his career. If he's available, we should be going to get him.
Him and Draymond going to bury the hatchet, if you will. Do you think there's any bad blood still from the OKC days? Huh? No?
I don't think you bury hatchets with Aquaman. I think you have to, what is the spear called?
The trident.
The trident.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, King Trident.
You have to harpoon the trident, I guess.
There we go. Thank you. Shout out to those watching on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. All powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And as always, we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed here in San Francisco. And you mentioned it, Brandon Pajemski. You mentioned Quinton Post. We've mentioned Buddy Hield, all these different players, Gary Payton. It was a total strength and numbers victory when you did not have Jimmy Butler. And we found out the news that a little bit before the game, about like an hour or two before, Anthony Slater, Shams Charania, all the different reporters had it. So no Jimmy buckets. What were they going to go to? Well, they ended up doing a couple things. They inserted Quinton Post into the starting lineup, which you've seen in the past. And Jonathan Kuminga got the start. So it was Draymond, JK, QP, Stephen Curry, and Brandon Pajemski. Moses Moody got shifted to the bench. Wasn't his best game offensively. I thought he did a couple things here and there, but was not his greatest game shooting the ball. But you know what? Neither here nor there. You won the game, so I'm not going to focus on that.
Jimmy Butler, did you see the outfit he had?
I was going to get to that. The coat was something.
Was that mink?
I don't know. Do we do that anymore? Mink coats? I don't want to. It's a PETA.
I'm going to be real with you. PETA, I don't care about you.
Just saying.
It does not matter to me.
Just saying.
You know, pelts are what, you know, this country was founded on early on in the early days of the frontier. Right. So I have no problem with that. Simultaneously,
right,
he had on
coat.
This yoga outfit that my wife and one of my cousins, Alexis, they were talking about. Yoga. It was like a brown.
Couldn't tell you.
It's like a Lululemon. Is that how it's pronounced? I don't even know. He just looks so saucy on the sideline.
Well, I just love a good like fur coat. I do. I'm a sucker for, who's my guy? Joe Namath? Hollywood Joe? Come on.
When I think mink coat, I think Cameron, Broadway. But that's fine.
I say Hollywood Joe. That's the point of this
game.
Miami.
Here was the moment in the game. Okay. Tari Eason hits a midi and they go up 34-22 and Steve Kerr calls a timeout. And Jay Billis says, as they're cutting to break, Jay Billis says, who besides Curry can do anything in this game or do something in this game? I'm paraphrasing. Who besides Curry can do something in this game? And then there's a loose ball foul, a couple of off ball fouls, a big Steph three on a QP inbound. And they're down 12, basically 49-37. Yep. And they're going back and forth and back and forth. There's 2 minutes to go with a little bit of change in the second quarter. Again, down 12.
Yep.
It felt like any momentum that they had was kind of all in the Rockets' favor.
I'll say this with the Rockets, though. I know Bonte had the stat when they've led by 10 or more at any point in the season. They're like 49-7 or 8, something like that. I'm paraphrasing, if you will, but it's something around that. They're really good when they have a 10-point lead because their defense is so damn good and they could sit on it, right? It just felt like, though, yesterday, outside of Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks, and really it was just Fred VanVleet in that first quarter, because outside of that, he turned into a very inefficient scorer. Dylan Brooks, as you mentioned, he was the only guy that was pretty efficient. 4 of 8, 3 of 4 from beyond the arc. He hit some big shots for them, but Şengün was not very good. Jalen Green, who dropped 30, was not very good, just a game prior. Jabari Smith, I thought, showed up off the bench defensively, too. I thought he was one of their better players.
He made
some big three-point shots. But again, Joe, more. Like, you're going to get games like you got Game 2. They can't do that 4 times in this series, what they did in Game 2. Game 3 and Game 1 is what I expect from this Houston Rockets offense, and that's what we got.
But at the end of the second quarter, like after the end of the first quarter.
I know.
Quarter,
I hear you.
They closed really well, the Rockets, at the end of that first quarter. And it was like, you know? At the end of the second quarter, down 12, Buddy, 8 points, Steph making plays. The way they finished the half, to me, set the tone for the rest of the game. They cut it to a 3-point game right before halftime. They had all the momentum. I believe Pods had the ball at the end of that half. They could have only been down 1.
Mm-hmm.
But to be down 49-46 after the way that second quarter played out, I thought that was the game right then and there. Having watched it back, I know there was moments in time where the Rockets took the lead and whatnot, especially in the fourth quarter, and they were trading buckets. But if you don't cut that 12-point lead where Tari Heason hits a three and basically puts it at a 12-point lead, it might have been, you know, we're looking at this as must win today in the other direction.
Well, and it's so refreshing to see, because how many times have you seen this Warriors team, even in the Jimmy Butler like era, just their failure to close quarters and halves is maddening mm-hmm. at times, whether it's careless turnovers, whether it's not paying attention in the final seconds, when the opposing team gets another last second shot off. Like, them and their ability to close at the end of this game in each and every quarter, if you will, was massive for them. And it does carry momentum. Like, I truly believe that in a given game, not a series, because everything can change, right? Because Jalen Green can have a big game in game two and game three can have a stinker. But in a given game, we've talked about this, there is such a thing as momentum and carrying that into halftime. Like, Steph was feeling himself. You saw going into the tunnel, like he was doing the little shimmies. He was like, all right, we're here.
Bounce in their step.
Yes, yes. And even at the start of the third quarter, when they go on a quick 7-0 run, the Rockets, when they do go up, it's like, okay, they calm down, get a timeout, and they get back into the groove of things. And again, everyone's stepping up on Saturday. Buddy Hield, 5 of 11. We finally got the Buddy Hield game. Wasn't the most efficient game. Had a couple turnovers and some inopportune times.
I thought he was really good.
But I thought he was active defensively. Yeah. Three steals for Buddy. Gary Payton, again, cannot say enough about the young glove.
Well, and look,
7-9, 2-3.
To be fair, with GP2, you know, he hadn't looked great.
No, we were talking about this not being maybe his series.
And you know what? Look, two things. Credit him for taking the most, taking advantage of the... I think with Jimmy off the floor, it kind of opens things up for him to be a penetrator at times where he's got single coverage. He's not just relegated to being a corner three guy. And now, if Jimmy comes back, his role will alter. He'll go back to that dunker spot. But I think they utilize him in a different way. And that's where I go with, like, Kerr. You know, Kerr went with Moody and GP2, and I believe, when was the start? So it was Steph, Moody, Buddy, Dre, QP to start that quarter.
Yes.
And then Steph came out, he went with GP2, and then stuck with GP2 down the stretch.
Yep.
So I credit Steve Kerr, and you know, you bring up Kuminga. Kuminga had a couple of big buckets in the third quarter. I thought it was a mixed bag overall. There was some good, there was some bad. Like, you know, he's guarding Jalen Green, the inbounder, and he's got basically, he's too tight to Jalen Green, who's not necessarily someone you need to face guard, you know, coming out of an inbound play. Maybe you lay off him a little. You have to stay between him, the ball, and the hoop, and he allows a backdoor cut. Like, those are the little things that are going to keep him off the floor. But then he makes a couple of big ISO plays later on. So he didn't play in the fourth quarter. He went with GP2. I like going with GP2. GP2 had it rolling. Hits a couple layups. Hits the corner three. Like, Steve Kerr was in his bag, too.
No, let's give credit to Steve Kerr when credit is due, because the amount of people that want to crush him, whether it was after game two or any L that they're going to have the rest of the way, because I promise you, when the Warriors lose another game, and it might not be in this series or the next series, everyone's going to blame the head coach first and foremost, because that's just what we like to do, whether it's Shanahan, whether it's Kerr, whether it's Bob Melvin.
Look at the Lakers this morning.
Look at J.J. Redick getting absolutely eviscerated, because you know what? He played all of his starters the entire second half, and they lost. They blew a big lead, and they lost, and they're down 3-1 now, and it's probably night-night on Luka, night-night on LeBron, night-night on Austin Reeves. Real quick, that's what the Warriors have an opportunity to do tonight to the Rockets. Don't let that team come back into this series and push it, because you know what? And I get it. And maybe the Lakers win game five or whatever. I don't know.
It's an uphill battle, though.
It's an uphill battle for a team that's old, and their best player was 40 years old, and he's exhausted because he was playing. He was the only other player playing defense on that team outside of Dorian Finney-Smith. Austin Reeves couldn't guard a nosebleed. Luka Doncic was getting attacked. And credit to Anthony freaking Edwards. God, that guy's box office. He is incredible.
He is absolutely
so damn good. There's an incredible weekend of sports, by the way. Just the NBA playoffs. Yeah, obviously the draft. And I know
Giants
with the little league walk-off home run. That was insane. Poor Luke Jackson gets the L on that one. I was like, oh my.
What a great Giant.
What a great Giant, right? Elliot Ramos getting that run in. Great call from the Kike, Lakers. By the way.
Your point on the Lakers is a great one. So yesterday, you know, you have no game. You're still decompressing from how fun the Saturday night game was. I love Saturday night games.
No, they're great.
They're not great and by the radio because we lose a little momentum.
Well,
but
it's okay. You mentioned Jay Billis, who was on the call for ESPN alongside Mike Jones. He's going to join us at 8:30, cruising River Island's guest line. So
I thought he was great. I'm not the biggest. What's the other guy's
Mark
name?
Jones.
Mark that's Jones. Okay. Yeah, I'm not the biggest Mark Jones guy, but that's fine.
I thought Jay, though, real quick, being able to go college to the pros, like, it's seamless for him. Kirk Herbstreit, I know it's not your favorite. So, like, there is like, that guy's a college guy. I don't really buy it. But Jay, the way he's able to break it down with his humor involved in it, too, I thought it was great. And obviously,
he's smart.
He's very smart. Well, he's a Duke guy, obviously.
No, I mean, like when I'm watching the game, and not only does he say the obvious, but he tells me, like, the next layer, yep. right? You know, and he's talking about how Curry's gravity, and he's explaining how, look, when this guy moves, there's a wave of people that have to honor him. Yep. And he kept saying what we've all kind of been saying, like, in Warrior Land, if you're an astute follower, which is, guys, you're going to get advantageous opportunities in matchups. And if you're not a threat offensively, you're making it harder on yourself and on Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. I mean, he said it three times. I thought the quote of the day, and I'm going to ask him about it, Jay Billis, who besides Curry can do something in this game?
Right.
Well, Buddy Hield did. Well, GP2 did. Quinton Post, though he didn't score, I thought he made plays defensively. Draymond Green was awesome defensively. So you're going to need contributions from the others. But Steph Curry's floor game as a point guard, as a facilitator, as a shot maker, defensively, he had big rebounds. He had a couple of steals. I thought Steph Curry's floor game was spectacular.
Outside of Stephen Curry, I'm going to ask the question at 888-957-9570. I'm not giving you the chef because it's too easy. Who's your MVP on Saturday? 888-957-9570. I'm not giving you Stephen Bleepin' Curry. It's not fair, all right? 36 points for the chef, 5 of 13. He got to the line, folks. He got to the line. The most free throw attempts from any play on Saturday was from the chef, 7 of 8. He did miss one, I know. Insane, right? And he had 9 assists. He was getting everyone involved. He had a couple of rebounds shy. Hell, guy almost had a triple-double, for Christ's sake. Yeah. Steph had 2 blocks?
Yeah.
2?
Yeah, the play on Van Vliet was one of the best plays. And Jay Billis was talking about, like, his body and how he didn't leave his feet. And he played him straight up. I mean, he doesn't make that play 4 or 5 years ago.
No, I thought going back to
a hell of a block.
Going back to game one, what he was able to do on Jalen Green yep. defensively. And I know Jalen got his in game 2. Steph's not stopping everyone. He's not a DPOY candidate.
How many guys are staying in front of Jalen Green?
Exactly. Can you do enough to make him work a little harder?
Yes.
That's all I'm asking Stephen Curry to do.
But in true Steph fashion, not only does he get the block, he gets the loose ball and then turns and fires it baseball style down court to,
great.
I believe, a streaking Buddy Hield.
Yep.
For a big-time layup.
Yep.
You know, Moses missed shots in this game.
He did.
Moses hit a couple of big layups early in this game that are going to get forgotten. I actually thought Moses was really good in the first half because first half they were looking for anybody to make a play.
Right, and Brandon Pajemski had a big bucket late in this game well. Just a little sneak, little finger roll in there. He got a little jump shot that just snuck over the rim.
Poor guy hit a 3 on a play that got blown dead.
I
you can just feel him like, also, his D cell, I swear to you, it's a travel every now and then.
Well, he was
coming to a jump stop, doggy.
Well, you know what drives me nuts is, and it's the Chris Paul play. He's been doing it forever. And Fred VanVleet,
slow down.
Yes,
I hate it
when they're dribbling in front of him. They notice the guy's right behind him. And he's running, and they just stop basically, and they just foul him. I was like, by the letter of the law, yes,
the bumper cars.
Yeah, but it's such like a little brother play.
Well, you're
right?
Not
it's like
making a basketball trolling. Play. You're trying to initiate contact.
Exactly, which just goes back to the charges. And I know I know. We'll get into it. Big win, and all. It wasn't the only thing. It wasn't the only team that won over the weekend, I should say, in the Bay Area. But the Niners had a win over the weekend too. We'll discuss that at some point.
All right.
NFL draft happened. Shedeur Sanders, the slide heard round the world. Guy got pranked called. He was sliding so badly. That was pretty messed up. We'll get into that. So much happened. And yeah, the Giants took their series against Bruce Bochy and the Texas Rangers with a little league walk-off home run yesterday. We'll get into that. 888-957-9570 is the number. It's Spadoni. It's Shasky. Warriors up 2-1, looking to go up 3-1 today. We will have that call right here on 95.7 The Game. But in the meantime, this segment is brought to you by Ceramani Ford. Employee pricing for all is on now at Ceramani Ford in Colma. You pay what we pay. No markups, no nonsense. Stop by Ceramani Boulevard or shop 24/7 at CeramaniFord.com. Ceramani Ford, from America, for America.
7-0 run for the Warriors. Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Yay!
Steiny's so pumped for that win. You kidding me? You know why he's pumped up today. You know why Steiny's going to be excited. By the way, Steiny and Goo broadcasting live Stone Tree Golf Course. All right. 10 to 2. We're going to be there. We're going to be golfing. We're gonna be having fun today.
I'm excited.
You're wearing your Titleist hat. You got it all decked out. I'm ready too. I got my tucked in shirt. I tuck in my shirt. You're going to a wedding or I'm playing golf? Oh. I'm actually not usually a tucked in shirt guy for golf, but today I'm trying to, you know, I'm representing the company.
I probably tuck my shirt in more than most.
You do, but
on lots of things.
That's okay. It depends on the course too. Like if I'm playing at like PG Muni, I'm like untucking it. I'm fine. It's like whatever. It's fine. Not to disparage the great Pacific Grove Municipal Golf Course. It is awesome, but there's levels to these things. If I'm playing at Pebble, probably going to tuck in my shirt. That's okay. It's just, you know, it is what it is.
At baseball practice, I'll tuck in my shirt.
There you go.
It's just a Jerry Rice thing in me. You know, look good, feel good, play good.
Was that Jerry Rice or was that Neon Deion Sanders?
No, it was literally Jerry Rice would meticulously fold his towel the appropriate way. He would sit there and like his whole uniform had to be just right.
But they're going to be there for the Agape Charity Golf Tournament, by the way,
yeah,
Joe. So
that was
so a lot of the proceeds going to the benefit autism. And it's going to be brought to you by ATCO Pest Control. So shout out to them. But Steiny's going to be excited, not just because of that. His Wolves are howling. His boy, Chris Finch, they're up 3-1 over the Lakers. And by the way, if these stand in both these series, it's going to be Warriors, Wolves in the next round. Warriors take care of business tonight. They're going to put a chokehold on this series up 3-1. And we know historically, when you go up 3-1, more often than not, you're going to win it. So, but, you know, don't want to bring up old wounds.
Saturday, about an hour before the game, I'm in the downstairs living room, and I'm doing a Mad Dog Radio hit with this.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. And like, I'm doing that on the phone, and I got the little guy, and I'm ordering round table pizza because.
Oh, what are you getting?
Well, we got, you know, pepperoni, this like double pepperoni thing, a bunch of other stuff. Anyway,
okay, all right.
Long story short, I'm watching the Nuggets Clippers and I'm saying to myself, there's like 10 seconds left in the half. And I believe with 7 seconds, Harden and Gordon, everyone starts going at it over a Christian Brown play where he's just defending him.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, this is why you need to put teams away.
Yep.
Right? This is why you need to put teams away because it gets chippy. And guys get angry, and then stuff happens, and then next thing you know, the benches randomly might clear, and a guy could get a suspension, a couple of flagrants, or techs, or whatever, and the next thing you know, you put yourself in a position to where you lose a game, and you have to exert more energy than needed. And I'm looking at that game, and then I watch the Warriors win the one that they did, and I see Jimmy Butler, who's hurt
in his coat,
sitting on the sidelines. And I decompress. And then I watch Lakers Timberwolves. And I say to myself, the T-Wolves have now backed the Lakers into a corner. And I don't know if the Lakers season is over. They're up 3-1, the T-Wolves. But I do know this.
It's over.
I do know this. With OKC finishing off the Grizzlies.
They're chilling right now. Chilling.
They're just relaxing. And they're young, and they're hungry, and they're focused, and they're ready.
And no one still believes in them, too. And that's what the coach is telling them. No one believes in them.
Of course. Yep. Even if the Lakers fight back, the amount of energy it would be required to stave off Minnesota, it's really diminishing their opportunity to move on.
Well, I think conversely too, like you're rooting for the Lakers. Weird enough as this sounds, if you're the Warriors, you take care of business tonight, you think you could put a chokehold on this series. Now you're rooting for the Lakers like, hey, can you take a pound of flesh from the T-Wolves? Can you maybe do some crazy things and force a game 7 and exert a little bit more out of Anthony Edwards, out of Naz Reid, DiVincenzo, all the McDaniels, all those guys.
And who knows what happens in that series? Like it just, you never know. And so as a Warrior fan this morning, you're up 2-1. You're feeling great. You have to win tonight.
This is going to be the most desperate version of the Rockets you're going to see. It's going to be tonight.
100%
agree. And they're
going to
throw everything at you, the kitchen sink, all of it. Real quick. We have to play the ending because we got the call and we got the sound.
They showed us during the Warrior game. I go, there's no way that it went down that way.
The Nuggets, Clippers.
I couldn't believe it.
Insanity to end the game. Just listen.
Zubac is on him. And this is for the win.
It's close. They're going to call it.
Did Gordon beat the buzzer?
They're going to take a look at it. But the official, Sean Wright, signaled it was good.
Now it was called good on the floor.
I think it's good. I think it stands.
Gordon coming in. They did not block him out.
I think this stands.
The ball was deemed to get out of Gordon's hands right before the LED light. This is a
Nuggets have won.
The game is over.
The Nuggets have won. And the series is tied at two.
Sound courtesy of TNT right there. Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller on the call. Insanity. And no one's better at breaking down insanity in sports than Kevin Harlan, by the way. He lives for chaotic moments. Even when things aren't chaotic, he'll make them chaotic by the calls that he does. But just insanity there. And by the way, there was more cheers than boos there. You know why? Because at the Intuit Dome and there's no Clippers fans there. Continue.
No, but if you're watching that and you're the Warriors, you're saying anything can happen. This is why you don't give teams opportunities, chances. I still don't, it doesn't sound like anyone's going to get suspended.
I don't think so.
But here's the thing.
Michael Porter Jr. left the bench, right? And they're talking about him and like, I don't know.
What did Harden get assessed on that swing punch?
Flagrant? I don't know. What was it?
I think Harden's kind of skating on that. Like, not that it was like some legitimate punch and he deserves to be suspended, but he should get an accumulation of flagrants. Like, because you cannot do that.
Well, he got it. He for sure the tech, right? Okay. I don't know if he got a flagrant two on top of it or whatever. But let's see. There's six technical fouls that were dished out on that game.
Yeah, they did it 3-3.
Right, exactly.
But I guess where I'm coming from is this.
No, I hear you, but part of me is like, all right, you divided them up. Everyone got techs. That's fine. Like, just I want the best players to be on the court in the series. I don't want James Harden to have to miss the next game because, like, that's what I don't want as a fan.
But he's
that's
also
the
a
last
punk.
Thing I don't
he's
want.
He's also a punk, okay? and it drives me nuts because he gets away with
chippy.
A lot of foul grifting. And at some point, like, enough is enough. I'm not saying he should be spent. I'm saying just he needs to accumulate specific amounts of flagrants. That being said, I'm watching that series, and I said to myself, hey, I want those two to continue to go to war because if you can handle business and go up 3-1, maybe you put them away in Houston. Maybe it goes to game 6. You put them away when you come back to Chase Center. But you're sitting in the driver's seat because that series feels like it's going 7.
Well, you're looking at that series, and the reason you're saying that right now, and again, you have to take care of business against the Rockets. You'd be playing the T-Wolves. You'd be playing the T-Wolves or the Lakers coming up next. And obviously, the Timberwolves go up 3-1. And then the winner of the Nuggets-Clippers series is going to be taking on the idol Oklahoma City Thunder, who's the only team thus far, I think, to sweep, right? Are they the Cavs? Do they finish it off yet? I don't even know. But I think the Oklahoma City Thunder, only team to sweep thus far. I could be wrong. But I'll say that. I'll say this to say that as I go guru here. The reason why you'll want the Nuggets and Clippers still to go 7, or at the very least go 6, is because we still don't trust the Oklahoma City Thunder. People still are fearing more of what the Clippers and the Nuggets are doing because of the players that have been proven in those given series. Kawhi has been there and done it. Not of the Clippers, but in the past. Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray have been there and done it. Different coach, but they've still done it. Shea hasn't done it yet. That head coach hasn't done it yet. There's so many unknowns still. And again, they'll have the opportunity to shut everyone up. There's a good chance in here. I still have it on the back of my mind. You know, the Thunder might just roll through everyone because it was the past of least resistance and everyone else was just tired. Like, there's a scenario here that maybe the Warriors do get to the conference finals, but they're so exhausted and the Thunder are just so much more athletic than them and younger. And that's baked into the equation. But that's why it's more incumbent on taking care of business tonight against this Rockets team. I do not want to go to Houston in a tied series and they have home court again. That is the last thing that I want.
But against the Rockets, the other part of this is that I don't want to come out of this series with the shenanigan flagrants and the shenanigan texts because we know it's Dylan Brooks. Shengun right now, I think Shengun's vulnerable. He looked horrible in this game on Saturday.
Credit Draymond Green for that, by the way. He was incredible defensively.
He also is a flopper. Did you see what he did with the... He put his arms underneath Quentin Post.
And Quentin Post kind of locked him in there. That's why they challenged the play.
Why are your arms underneath someone's armpits? Yes, Quentin Post did lock him in. What are your arms doing underneath someone's armpits?
You wanted to give him a hug.
No, that's... What are you doing? That's not even basketball.
You ever seen the movie Ghost?
But that's my point.
Seen the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze?
They have got to put this guy away and this team away so that they don't have to worry about it. At the end of that game, they win the game, and Jalen Green's got something to say for Draymond, and Draymond's got something to say back to him. All of these little ticky-tacky things can add up, and it will cost you a game down the stretch. And that's why I'm sitting here, and I'm like, take care of business tonight. Go up 3-1.
Do you think it was funny that the guy that ended up getting in the middle of Jalen Green was the guy that was getting into it with Draymond at the end of game two? Fred VanVleet was the guy. Remember, they were like shoulder to shoulder. They were talking mess to each other, and the benches got together. Fred VanVleet was the guy that got in between Jalen Green. Jerry's like, all right, dude, like, let's go. Let's get out of here.
Classic Rockets. We lost the game. Let's win the fight in the parking lot.
There you go. And they couldn't even do that. What's coming up, in the game, I should say, is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. More of your calls, more of your texts. And by the way, you can text us now on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. It is the same number to call or text, 888-957-9570. Your MVP from game three. I'm not giving you Steph, because that's the easy answer. You go in GP2. You go in with Quentin Post. Defensively, I thought he was huge. You go with Buddy Buckets. And we'll continue to break down this game. A crazy weekend of sports. 888-957-9570. And at one point, we will get into what the 49ers did with the draft, because their first five picks were very telling about the holes on this team. That's coming up next. It's Spadoni at Chasky. We're rolling on the Morning Roast. Warriors up 2-1. Can they go up 3-1 tonight? We'll find out. 95.7 The Game.
Dub Nation is Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to the Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Chasky on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks, Pods. Is he in the building? He's feeling, hey, bro, this is a perfect song for Brandon Pajemski. No one feels themselves than one Brandon Pajemski.
All right, the D-cell, which I know that he loves.
10 points for Pods.
The D, Doc, come to a jump stop. That was a travel. And Jay Billis called it out. He was like, I think that was a travel. I was like, I 100% agree that was a travel.
Brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. Jay Bill, it's 830. And by the way, your phone call is also appreciated and welcome. Same with the text line, the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Same number, 888-957-9570. We're rolling. The Warriors are rolling. No Jimmy Butler, no problem. All right, Joe. So when you saw the news, there was going to be no Jimmy Buckets. What was the panic level for you when you saw that? Where it's like, oh boy, well, we're losing this game. Were you fully in like, I don't think we're going to win this game? Or was there a part of you like, no, we win this game. Like, the psyche for the Rockets is effed, right? Like, that's how I felt, like, going into it.
Okay.
Like, I was like, no, this is an opportunity for the Warriors to put the Rockets away mentally. Going up, because going up 2-1, it's not the end of the series, right? But I'll say this, teams that do go up 2-1 after the series is tied 1-1 go on to win 70%+ of the time that series. So mathematically, massive win for the Golden State Warriors in that regard. But I think more so what they did to the mentals of the Rockets, like, the Warriors were without their second best player.
Yeah, I hadn't even considered that, quite frankly.
Like the
psychological
part. Yeah, I'd be like, coming out of that game, I'd be so disheartened if I'm the Rockets. Like, man, they didn't have Jimmy Butler and we lost. Coming off through after that emotional win that they had, and you knew heading into game three, and this is going to be the first road playoff experience for like a lot of these guys outside of obviously Dylan Brooks, outside of Fred VanVleet, and outside of Steven Adams, all those other guys, that was their first road playoff experience. And I thought Chase Center showed out on Saturday.
Huge Warrior chance with 4 minutes to go.
All the Warriors chance I was hearing that game.
Really
it was massive. So shout out Chase Center. Huge for them showing up, because I thought Houston Rockets in comparison to Toyota Center, that was very stale the first couple games.
Maybe
I'm just a hater. I don't know, but it sounded pretty stale in comparison to what I heard from Chase Center. But you know what? They've been there. They're used to it. They've had championship moments. They've had finals games there. And I feel like Chase Center, a lot of people like to compare, Oracle. Yeah, Oracle's its own thing. It's going to be special. That's what it is. Candlestick is its own thing. That's going to be special. But you know what? Eventually, Levi's built a soul. And it does. I know a lot of people like to say it's a soulless. No, when there's playoff games, big playoff games there, they show up. Joe, you've been there.
Joe, I love going to playoff games, Levi's. It's not Candlestick.
It's not.
I'm just letting you know.
No.
It's not even close.
I'm not saying it is. Yeah. That's why I'm saying Chase will never be Oracle.
Yes.
That's okay.
Sure.
It could be Chase Center. And Chase Center showed out on Saturday in a big, big way. And I think it got to the Rockets' young players. I did. Amen Thompson, 5 of 16. Jalen Green, 4 of 11 after having that huge game in game two. Tari Eason, not his best game. 8 points, 3 of 9 shooting for him. It was not great. Outside of Jabari Smith and Dylan Brooks, the efficiency just was not there for the Houston Rockets. credit the Warriors defense.
So you asked what, heading into the game, you know, what was my, you know, feeling? I had zero expectation because I watched this team without Jimmy Butler and they had Wiggins at the time, but you know, for the months before he even showed up, I didn't know what to make of this team. They could look like a bottom five team. They could look good enough to beat anybody. So I didn't know what to expect. And I kept thinking like, okay, offensively, who's going to show up? Like, are they going to be hounding Steph to where he's an inefficient version of himself? And, you know, is Draymond going to have to step up the scoring? I don't even know. What did Draymond finish with? I don't even think he scored in the fourth quarter.
He finished with 7 points.
Yeah.
And he had 4 assists, 8 boards, 3. It's just a typical Draymond game. But triple single.
Like without Jimmy Butler, I was like, all right, maybe he has to score 15. And, you know, can JK score enough to, you know, offset some of Butler's, you know, loss? And can Pajemski hit buckets? And none of that ended up mattering. It felt like to me it was Steph, GP2, and Buddy Hield in the second half.
Well, in that first quarter alone, it was just a grind. Steph was 1 of 4, right? You had Pods 2 of 5. You had Draymond 0 of 3. He had a couple 3-point attempts that clanked. They scored 18 points in that first quarter. Like, early on in this game, like, the defense, and I'll continue to give Houston credit for this because their defense shows up. It, like, the Warriors did score over 100, so there you go. 104 for them.
Is my 100? I've been saying in every game.
Yeah.
First to 100. Is that not ringing true?
No, it absolutely is.
In this series, this is a very, we're not going to be able to put the ball in the hoop team, especially in tight, condensed spaces down the stretch. And I knew if you get to 100, you're winning this game.
Lawler's Law, right? There you go. First team to 100 usually wins the game. Shout out Ralph Lawler, the Clippers, who took an L, and their series is now tied 2-2. But we're talking about the Warriors, 888-957-9570. Something happened early on in this game, Joe, and you mentioned Draymond Green, I thought was huge. That tech early on, I thought was well-calculated from Draymond Green.
Well-calculated?
No, I did.
I thought he was going to go after the referee.
You know what?
The way he was stomping at him, I was like, oh boy, here we go.
You know why I thought it was well-calculated? Because it was early on in the game. I knew he was going to let it go.
He was livid.
He was. He was pissed. Buddy Hield spoke to it after the game on NBC Sports Bay Area, and he said that was when the team got going.
We didn't make as much shots we wanted to in the first half, but we was able to weather the storm in that second quarter. You know, after the Draymond tech got us going, and we were able to weather the storm.
So, again, like, a well-calculated tech, because there are some times where it's like, that wasn't the moment, that wasn't the time to do it. And you see this a lot in baseball, whether it's a manager getting thrown out. You see it a lot from the coaches. It's sometimes incumbent on the players to do it, because Steve Kerr, I don't think, wants to get a tech. And he's already got a tech in the series,
yes.
Maybe one. And again, complaining about the fouls and the lack of foul calls. But I thought that was well-timed for him early on in the game to set the tone. And you know what's funny?
Well-timed tech.
I did, because, you know, also, you know what the refs don't want to do? They don't want to give him another one. So they're going to let him tote the line, be aggressive.
Well, I mean,
can say lucky, but the refs, especially in this time, you mentioned the James Harden. They don't want to throw anyone out.
I understand that.
They don't
want to
do that.
Draymond Green.
I know.
And I just thought the way that he was
a champion of change.
The way he was demonstratively walking over to the, stomping over to the referee and like got in his face that way, it crossed my mind that he's going to get tossed in this game.
Well, he talked about it after the game as well, how important it was to be the enforcer on this team.
It's important, for sure. You better have one on your team, or you just get bullied. So I take pride in being that for our guys, being that for this franchise for many years. But, I thought it was time to take one right there, so I did. And made sure I got one, and then I kept it pushing. Got back in the game, but it was, you know, sometimes stuff like that is needed, and I felt like it was needed there.
Why are you laughing?
I call cap on that.
What?
He acts like he's in full control of his emotions.
He was.
And there's just no way that anyone who's watching that sequence is like, Dre knows exactly where he's going with this and where to walk up to the line. Like, I'm sorry. I think he was unhinged, and it was like, he could say afterwards, hey, I knew exactly what I was doing. In real time, I was like, oh boy, he's pushing it. And quite frankly, credit to the referee for not throwing him out. I think a lot of other people would have been tossed.
James Williams, Kevin Scott, Curtis Blair.
You really think he was in full control?
Yes.
I mean, we could disagree on this.
Yes.
But
I'm tired.
Hey, Draymond, what did Jalen Green...
I love him, but God, I was like, please don't get thrown
Draymond,
out of this game.
What did Jalen Green have to say to you at the end of the game?
Yeah, the game was over. Don't matter.
There you go. It don't matter.
I thought he said something about painting his nails. That's what I saw on the internet.
Yeah, the game was over. Don't matter.
I keep that on my board, Fred. I just want that. Doesn't matter. It could be Niners related. It could be Giants. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, the game was over. Don't matter.
That's what Luke Jackson said yesterday after the Rangers lost.
Down the stretch. He had a play where he went straight up vertical against Amen Thompson, and it was incredible. Then he had two other ones when he went straight up against Sengun. Sengun was so afraid that even on a wide open shot, he hit net. No rim, no backboard, net.
Amen Thompson, I think, again, rising star, guy's a rookie. He has a very good career ahead of him if he's on this trajectory. I think people are anointing him a little bit too soon early on in the series. The efficiency, the shooting, the wildness, everything. He looks uncontrolled at times. This is his first playoff experience. So I'm trying not to be too hard on the guy, but you know, the whole Curry stopper. Oh, Amen Thompson. He's different. I got body envy. I get it. 5 of 16. I'll live with that. Alperen Sengun, 7 of 18 overall, 1 of 6 from the free throw line. Yikes. Hey, Rockets, you know, you can make your free throw. They're called free throws for a reason. They're free. You can get them. 14 to 24? You kidding me?
Well, what did Sengun end up with?
1 of 6.
What is he?
1 of 6. That's from the free throw line.
Well, they did hack Adams too in this game.
And he was their best free throw shooter outside of Fred VanVleet.
Well, and then he missed one and then missed the next one. Yeah. And then they got the offensive rebound and scored again.
I know.
And it was like, we got to stop doing that.
But I will credit Steve Kerr in this one because I did think the lineups and the combinations, everything worked.
He was on
it. And when it works, we give you credit.
Absolutely.
Again, and I don't know where Dub Nation is on this. When the guy loses, you like to call in and crush him. Well, how about when he does things well? You're going to call in and give him, hey, all you Kuminga haters, Steve Kerr hates Kuminga. He's iced him out. Put him in the starting rotation.
And
he started him.
And then even after a clunky first half, went back to him in the third quarter.
Yes, he did.
To start the second quarter, they went actually very big. And then they went to a 1-3-1 zone. Steph, GP2, Buddy, Looney, QB. Mm-hmm. Now, Looney, I thought, had a mixed bag in this one as well. He had some moments, and then he comes way too far out on Jalen Green, and just a little head fake, and boom, layup.
Yep.
He's gotta get backwards. I actually think QP defensively,
oh, he's great,
has outplayed Looney in the last couple games.
That was a big
revelation.
A big revelation for me coming out of this game. The Rockets, if you look at just the rebounds in total, they only out-rebounded the Warriors by 6. Obviously 5 on the offensive glass, but 6 in total. 51 to the Warriors, 45. And a big reason why it was damn near even was Quentin Post. He had 12 boards, 3 offensive. If he could do that, the shooting would be great. And that's why we always talk about shooting with Quentin Post, is because you don't really get a lot defensively. Well, in this case, and not saying he's this world beater defensively, I'm not saying he's Steven Adams. But he was battling, and he had 4 assists as well.
Yeah.
So if his shot wasn't going down, he was 1-7, 0-3 overall, pressing a little bit. And that's come to expect from a rookie, right? You can control that if you're 7 feet tall. Those rebounds, Quentin Post. If you can rebound against this Rockets team, you can rebound against any other team left in this Western Conference. That was a huge takeaway for me.
He pushed Adams in a way I haven't seen Adams pushed.
You all right over there? You all right? I don't know what's happening. It's okay. You're getting excited. You're getting choked up.
He literally two-hand shoved him.
They're developing before your eyes. The Quentin Posts, the Brandon Pajemskis, right? Hell, Moses Moody, you had a couple baskets here. It wasn't his greatest shooting game. And again, there's going to be a Moses Moody game here going forward.
Pods hit a shot late in the game.
Oh.
It was very bold, to say the least, off the front of the rim. And it was a huge bucket. Huge bucket for the team.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. And now we are broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios at Spadoni at Chaskey. We're rolling 1 hour down, three more to go as Jay Billis going to be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. Now it's to me. Jay Billis obviously did the game for ESPN. usually with college, but I've been very impressed. He had one of the Lakers Timberwolves matchups as well. He's been bouncing around, getting paid overtime, if you will, coming off March Madness, now going right into the NBA playoffs. So Jay Billis going to be joining us at 8:30, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. But I was talking about it, Steve Kerr. And with that win, Joe, on Saturday, Warriors head coach Steve Kerr earned his 101st playoff coaching victory, moving him into sole possession of sixth place on the NBA's all-time playoff coaching wins list, passing Larry Brown, who had 100. So sixth all-time in playoff victories for a head coach. It's pretty impressive for a guy who everyone wants to fire left and right all the time. I'm just saying, like, we love to call in when he does something wrong. Can we call in when he does something right? For the love of God. 888-957-9570.
You know that.
Why?
Because people are haters.
Just, I'm giving y'all the opportunity right now. You want to crush the team when they lose. Oh, game two, the sky's falling. Jimmy Butler's out. We're going to lose this series. Oh, my God, we're not winning. Well, they won without Jimmy. They're up 2-1. And if Jimmy comes back today, I'm smelling blowout. Yeah, call me arrogant.
Okay.
I'm smelling potential blowout.
We're not doing that.
Why?
These games are too tight.
I think that was a psychologically damaging loss for them on Saturday, the Houston Rockets. You don't agree with me? Listen to Draymond Green.
I think for us psychologically, you know, it just kind of reconfirms to ourselves that we can do it, that we're capable of making any adjustment, you know, next guy up mentality. I don't know what it does for now. That's not really my focus. My focus is what happens in our locker room and, you know, the way Buddy stepped up, the way GP stepped up, QP with 12 huge rebounds. Loon played really good minutes for us, so, you know, just to see other guys step up in his absence was huge.
That's growth from Draymond Green because, you know, what he really wants to say is that was a psychologically damaging loss. That's hashtag new media. Draymond Green wants to jump on with Baron Davis after that and says, yeah, they're cooked mentally. They're shot. That's what he wants to say, but he showed growth there. He's like, I don't know what it does for them. I'm going to let them fester on a little bit. I know for us, it just reconfirms that we could beat anyone on any given night, even without Jimmy Butler. You know why? And I think people need to, like, remember this. The Warriors have a top 10 player in the history of the NBA on their team still. There's only one other team that could say that that's in these playoffs currently, and they're down 3-1, and that's the Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron James. Outside of that, no one else has a player of Stephen Curry's caliber. He dropped 36, and it's high time people start remembering that. He's one of the greatest players in the history of the sport and giving him and the team respect when he goes out there. Because there's a lot of scared energy. I saw on the broadcast before, oh, Stephen A. Smith, you can't, if you're the Rockets, you can't lose this game because they don't have Jimmy Butler. Yeah, they don't have the best player still in the series. The Warriors do. That's Steph Curry. Does that mean something?
And you can make the argument, you know, that, you know, when Şengün doesn't play well and Jalen Green doesn't play well, they might have had the second best player in that game as well. In Draymond Green.
Right.
Who played great defensively.
I agree with that.
So, yeah, look, the part about tonight, though, and, like, just this Rockets team and this matchup regarding blowouts, this team doesn't get blown out. They walk the ball up the court. They're methodical. They limit the amount of possessions. It's really difficult to for them, I'm talking about the Rockets, to be down 15-20 just by style of play.
Right.
Like, they're going to be in a lot of these games, and they're going to do a really good job kind of slowing you down and making you work the shot clock to get a shot. So, like, pace of play, they don't allow themselves to get down 15. Like, that's just kind of, like, how they play.
I hear you, but I also think, you know, the Pajemskis of the world, the Quinn Posts of the world, the Moses Moody, one of those guys is going to catch fire. And, again, maybe that was the Gary Payton game you got on Saturday and, okay, in the Buddy Hield moment, and then it shifts from there, right? The strength of numbers we were talking about, it returning. A lot of people saying the strength of numbers faded, right? After the game two loss, there's no strength in numbers. It's Steph, and it's Steph and Jimmy, and that's it. No one else can step up. And listen, is the Warriors' depth as good as, let's say, the Oklahoma City Thunder's? Probably not, but I will take the veterans and those players and their ability to get theirs on any given night and how that confidence trickles down to those other guys. That's absolutely the case in point. And I saw that with Gary Payton, a guy that's been there. Gary Payton's won a championship. He's had big moments in the playoffs in the past. That means something against the Houston Rockets team where no one outside of Dylan Brooks, Fred VanVleet, and Steven Adams have had moments, right? I don't know if Steven Adams has had huge
offense. No, Steven Adams has been good.
No, he has been good. No, he's been solid in this series. But again, he's not going to be the guy that's scoring on offense. Every time the guy gets the ball on offense, he's looking to pass it. That's what he's doing.
If Steven Adams is ever available, the Warriors need to be all over him.
Sure.
He's a
perfect off the bench big who just eats glass. He's exactly what they've never had.
I mean, Quinn Post. I mean, 12 boards. I mean, do we even need a Steven Adams? Talking about the glass eating. That was Quinn Post on Saturday, right? Show some respect for QP.
QP 12 was great.
Boards.
QP was
Come
great.
On.
They're just totally different play styles.
They are. But aren't you like not like coming out of that game for me? Like Quinn Post is what I came away from there saying, if he can give me that level of production against that team that has two bigs and plays two bigs, why can't he do that in every other series going forward?
Well, that's the big takeaway. Right? The kid has been baptized by fire
yes.
in regards to the playoff atmosphere, and he's doing a great job battling against probably one of the more difficult combinations in Şengün and Adams. Like, Şengün's got a pretty deep bag offensively in terms of when he catches the ball deep, he's got the little finger roll, he's got the turnaround, he's got the fadeaway.
He smoked a lot of layups, by the way, on Saturday,
no,
too.
No, he wasn't yeah. good, but
he
in
smoked
general,
that dunk that he tried to do, and then Draymond runs on the other side and smokes the layup. That was the best moment of the game for me.
But in general, wouldn't you say that Şengün has a pretty good repertoire once he's deep in the paint?
No, I would say he's one of the more
elite,
elite footwork when it comes to the big man in an era where that's lost.
Yeah.
He has that.
Yeah,
and
he's got a great touch off the front of the rim.
Better than Sabonis.
He kisses yeah. it in. Yeah, I really yeah. like Şengün. And obviously, he's a standing player. Steven Adams, in terms of battling, name a tougher, stronger player to battle with underneath.
Ooh, that's a great question. Maybe Zubac.
Okay.
Zubac.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Jokic, probably.
Oh, okay, yeah. Two guys that if you want to go far, you might have to face.
Yes.
Right? And so I think for Quinn Post, these are awesome reps that he's getting right now and unbelievable confidence. Couple of his three balls, he shot them so quick because he was trying to get off a shot. Front of iron, it wasn't even good. He'll calm down. He'll settle in. I really would like him to hit a couple of threes to go alongside some of this defensive rebounding that he's showcasing. I just think he's a smart player, and I think that he's learning right now when and where and how to be aggressive. And he did a really good job jumping onto the floor twice in this game. He's done that in every game, jumping onto the floor. If you want to play on this team and not be a headline player, you better jump onto the floor.
So you get greedy tonight, and that's how you're feeling. And it's not even getting greedy. It's just about taking care of home court. I don't even like using that term. The Warriors can get greedy tonight. No.
The difference from 3-1 to 2-2 is monumental.
No, this is about stepping on their throats tonight.
Exactly.
And not giving them any last gasping breath to have. That's what the Minnesota Timberwolves did yesterday when the Lakers knew they could not go down 3-1 in that series. Going back to La La Land, they did not want to do that. They wanted to get that home court back yesterday, and they had every opportunity to do it. But you know what? Their big boy showed up in Anthony Edwards. He dropped 40 on that ass, and he was the closer, and he was the best player on the floor yesterday when they had Luka out there and LeBron. No. It was Anthony Edwards. I'm looking at the same thing tonight when it comes to either Stephen Curry or, hell, do you need Jimmy Butler tonight? Now, it would be nice. I would love to have Jimmy buckets tonight, but do they need him back, or do you give him a little bit more time to rest? 888-957-9570.
It's Monday today.
Yep.
Wednesday for sure.
Yep.
TBD Friday.
Correct. Do you rest him tonight after you won on Saturday? Maybe we'll get into that on the other side.
Chew on that.
888-957-9570. We'll chew on that. It's Spadoni. It's Shasky. It's the Morning Roast. You know the number. And it's brought to you by Life Source Water Systems.